This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients.
So, Brie, I remember this one time I was in a bike race around Tucson, and I wasn't paying attention. We were riding down 4th Avenue, and there's railroad tracks, like streetcar tracks, and my bike's tire like went and wedged in to the railroad tracks,
no!
And I totally fell down and just like skinned my hands, everything. Ugh. I had nothing with me, nothing at all. And it's that times where you want a first aid product and you have nothing. And Active Skin Repair utilizes a molecule called hypochlorous acid. When applied to the skin, the molecule works by mimicking the natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. I've used it on my son's mosquito bites, and I wish I would have had it the time I totally scraped up my hands.
Oh, I hear you. Like whenever I go paddleboarding, kayaking, I'm always trying to find something that is like an all-in-one that I can take with me. And Active Skin Repair could be used like that. It can be used to treat cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for all skin types, all parts of the body, like eczema, and acne-prone skin, all of that.
With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the youngest member of the family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all of your family's skin health needs. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and to get 20% off your order. Use code NOGUILT. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by my so happy it's the holiday season co-host, Brie Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you? I think we did festive one time not too long ago, and I'm like, festive. I love festive.
Festive. Well, we're just finishing up December right now, so it's like, it's the festive time of year, and then it goes into like this non-festive time of year. I never know what to do with myself in January. Do you feel that?
Oh, yes. The hate's a big word, but I'm going to be honest. I truly do not like January.
It's hard.
It's like a month-long hangover.
You go from this holiday high to just like, well, it's the new year. We're all getting older.
Right. Oh, and try enjoying January, too, when you're single, because that's when they start throwing out all the Valentine's Day stuff. And you're like, yeah, this is fun.
But you're married now, Brie.
I am married now. And you know what? We seriously considered getting married in January just so that Brie had something positive to look forward to.
Oh, my gosh. We got to make January a little more positive for you.
Well, we have some positive things coming up for January, for sure.
We do. Well, to get your new year planning, to get on the right track for 2022, we have a great guest today. Her name is Ryan Haddon. She's a life and spiritual coach, meditation teacher, and hypnotherapist. She helps women create more happy, healthy, and more balanced lives. And she's also the daughter of an international supermodel and actress, and has a wonderfully unique life growing up in Toronto, New York, and Paris.
Oh, man, amazing.
So many amazing cities. She now lives in New Hope, Pennsylvania, and is mother to 4 kids, ages 7, 9, 20, and 22. And we hope you enjoy our interview with Ryan.
Okay, Joanne, you know that in our family, we do the whole where everybody has to make dinner.
Yeah.
And it has been a real struggle getting my youngest to make dinner because she only likes one thing.
What does she like?
Steak.
A steak.
She is a steak eater.
Wow.
To no end.
I didn't know that about her.
Well, and it's funny because the rest of our family, we're not so much steak. Nah. So when she asks me like, okay, can I make steak? I go, sure. And then she's like, well, what can I make with steak? And I'm like, heck if I know. I don't cook steak. I don't know.
But
chicken or fish, I know.
You found something in Cozy that really helps you out.
We did. So the other day we were having this like brainstorming again. It was Sunday. We were trying to make our grocery shopping list. And I'm like, I don't know what to make with steak. You know what? Open the Cozy app. You know it's got recipes there. Let's look it up.
Yeah.
So she opens the app, types in steak under recipes. Like 4 recipes pop up. And she finds one that was called, what was it called? Allen's Flank Steak. And it was amazing. It only had 3 ingredients.
That is a really easy steak for a 13-year-old to make.
Yes, it did not freak her out. That's it didn't intimidate. Because most of them, like, right, there's so many steps. So not only was it easy, but then I showed her, I was like, okay, so do you want to make this? And she's like, I guess, but I don't want to have to, like, add everything. And I go, okay, well, you see this button right here that has a shopping cart? Click it. Mm-hmm. She clicked it, and it went do you want to add to groceries? She hit yes, and bam, it was there.
That is amazing. No,
and it was funny too, because in the other room, Miguel's like, hey, I got stuff added to the list. And I'm like, yeah, there you go. It was perfect. And then you know what else you could do? So then the other problem we have with the girl is that she forgets it's her cooking night. Uh-huh. So then on the same thing, I'm like, see that calendar button? She goes, yep. Hit the calendar button and it opens right up and says, what night do you, or what day do you want to cook this? And then do you want it for breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
I love
it. And it added it to our calendar.
And it just puts it right there.
It put it right there.
That is awesome. And Cozy is the number one organizing app that families use to juggle everything, including who is making dinner tonight.
Yes.
And it is free in the App Store. Just download Cozy, that's C-O-Z-I, to get the free app today. Well, something to look forward to in 2022 is we have the first annual. I'm putting that out there right
first
now. It's going to be the
ever.
First annual, too.
First ever to be annual.
Like, be here on the ground floor. The Happy Mom Summit.
Woo!
It's coming. It's coming. February 28th is when we kick it off. And we are going to have so many phenomenal speakers with the goal of helping you yell less, be more patient, and find that time for you in your life without feeling guilty.
Yes, yes. But how are they going to hear about this summit, Joanne? How?
You need to be on our email list. And you can do that by downloading our Happy Parent Checklist at noguiltmom.com/HPC. And you can do that in the show notes. Now, on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal, too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Ryan. We are so happy to have you here.
Oh, it's so wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
And just in like our short pre-interview, you have such a calming presence. Like I think my stress was like up high and then it's been lowered just a little bit talking to you. So I know that people listening will find a lot of value in this conversation and hopefully it'll lower their stress as well.
I'm so glad that we can do that for each other. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think so too. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do and how you came to be doing what you do?
Well, I am a life coach. I'm a hypnotherapist and a meditation teacher. So those are the three modalities that I work with to help people drop into the best version of themselves and kind of clear away what's no longer working.
And how did you get to do those things?
You know, it's usually anyone worth their weight in healing, in being a practitioner of any kind, has probably walked through some dark nights of the soul to be able to transmute that and then be a lighthouse for others. It doesn't have to, but I usually gravitate to those sorts of healers, practitioners myself, because they speak from experience and they're learned, right? It's through their own practice of what's tried and true. And I tend to have faith in that. Because you can have all the certificates on the walls behind you, but if you're not truly in integrity with it, that doesn't get transmitted to the client. It doesn't get it's a state, if you will, that we're modeling, that we're holding in place for someone else to step into in their own way, in their own version of it.
I love that. I love it. And we were talking in the pre-interview about like different times that we've had in our lives, especially in like Hollywood. And how like that kind of environment and that kind of situation exacerbates the problems. Can you tell us more about that, about how like your environment was exacerbated?
Yeah, I think that we gravitate to places when they're unhealed parts of ourselves. We gravitate to places that can highlight those things. Because I think some part of us, the subconscious, is trying to move us into wholeness. So we pull in experiences that constantly reflect that part of us that isn't quite together yet, isn't quite on the other side of wholeness, if you will, right? Who's still working things out. And so in my case, it was smoke and mirrors, superficiality, addiction, those sorts of things of how it showed up on my screen. It's going to show up different for somebody else. You might pull in the bad boy all the time because you're unable to, you know, oversimplifying, but you're not able to love yourself enough. So you keep pulling in someone who highlights that belief you have about yourself constantly. So I think that's how it works. And that's certainly how it worked on my timeline. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think all of us can relate to that where we pull in things that like we do. Would you say it's kind of like where we're missing parts of ourselves that we then look to fill that and we don't get in the best relationships or is it something
I do.
Else?
I think so. And I think we have beliefs about ourselves. That's why I'm a hypnotherapist. So I believe in the subconscious and that the power of it. It runs 95% of our life. It's under the surface of everything. Mm-hmm. It's what we believe about love, relationships, security, abundance, and it can just run point in our life. So consciously, you might have an idea of how you'd like something to go, but the subconscious will hijack or reroute things based on what's familiar to it. So it's mm-hmm. habitual patterns and thought processes and beliefs. And so in hypnosis, we can reconfigure those things. So if you find you're butting up against, you know, wanting to live your best life, and despite your best efforts, you're not able to, then that's usually the subconscious is in play. And it's our friend. It's not a saboteur. It's trying to move us into alignment, but it's those flags on the field where we start to say, oh, here's this part that's unhealed. Let's take a look at it. How is this working for me? Is this a truth for me? And in my case, I was able to rework that with my own, with a hypnotherapist who showed up for me in a time of need. And so I knew at some point I was going to bring this healing to others.
Hey, all, it is Joanne.
And Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explains, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes. From the creators of the hit kids podcast Who Smarted and Netflix's Brainchild comes the adventurous world of mysteries about true histories, affectionately known as Math.
Every episode follows Max and Molly. I gotta say, love the name Max. That's my puppy dog's name. Who have just recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs. It actually makes learning pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, I listened to this with my son, and it was so fun to listen to. I loved how modern it was with a cool aunt that they really dug, and like they dealt with bullies. My son also enjoyed all the math involved. Like, he thought it was really cool.
Well, and I have to say, I love anything that brings learning and fun together for kids. I really, really wish that something like this was around for my teens when they were younger. We would have absolutely devoured this on our car trips. It would have been amazing. It's perfect for kids ages 6 and up, and new episodes drop every Thursday.
So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods.
That's so interesting because I know that in like my own life, I feel that feeling of butting up against a wall and not being able to overcome it, like especially in the podcast and in the business. And I think a lot of women actually struggle with this. It's raising the volume of your voice because you're afraid to put your opinions and your thoughts out there because you're, I don't know, afraid of, what would you say? Like
afraid
criticism,
kickback.
Mm-hmm. The fear. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel that all the time where I, as a business owner, I'm scared to put the stuff out there that I know will probably resonate with some people, but will really get a big pushback from other people. And just saying those strong things that I wonder if it's my subconscious being like, hey, there's something there and there's some healing that needs to be done.
Yeah, it could be. And we need your voice. So that's the other part that, you know, right? There's, and we all have, as women too, we're conditioned to be the people pleaser. We're conditioned to be a good girl and fall in line and do the right thing and keep quiet. And so that, those are all messaging that we've received. That's programming, and that's in our subconscious. And so pushing up against that is probably very real for a lot of us. And so,
oh my gosh, let's talk about that good girl mentality for a little bit, because I think a lot of women do struggle with it, and it relates directly to self-care. And like, the good girl doesn't leave her family, takes care of her children, like is the sole nurturer and
knows how to do everything right.
Does everything right. Doesn't make a mistake. No way.
And her family reflects that.
Yeah. Like how could we push back against our inner good girl and actually advocate for ourselves to get like the care we need?
Well, I think the first thing is to notice that that's a lie. And it's keeping us bound. Right. It's the version of Chinese foot binding, right? Where we can't run. And so it's, first of all, just calling that out and saying, nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody has a clue. Okay. And you get kids and nobody knows. You might not have a nurturing instinct in you. You might not know, you might not like doing Legos on the floor. That might not be your phase of childhood. You might not like changing diapers. Like, so it's just, it's feeling into your experience and giving yourself a lot of room. So that's part of the good girl. The good girl is something imposed on us. It's a blueprint, and it's not real. It's not authentic. And sometimes women uphold this with each other in circles. And I was lucky enough to be in a mommy group in my firstborn. And we were all like, what is going on? How do we do this? So find women that you can be yourself with. Find women that you can say, show me how, because I don't know. This is weird. I'm feeling this. Is this, are you feeling this too? Like, find a safe group of women. And if there's any woman that uses that as leverage to push herself above you in some way, run, because this is not, we cannot move through this. Well, we can, but it's not as fun without the sisterhood, without other moms. And you doing a podcast like this also dispels these expectations of us having to do things perfectly, having to know how to do this. Kids don't come with manuals. And not only that, we're also, if you're, you know, conscious, you're going to be healing your own childhood alongside raising your own child. So that's the goal. If you're not conscious, you're going to be unconsciously banging up and your kid's going to trigger you all the live long day, because, and they're going to trigger you anyway, but there's not going to be spaces in between, because they're going to be acting out again so that you can heal, so that then they become the teachers. Right? Instead of us teaching them, they're teaching you. They're schooling you in which parts of you are still blanketed in the shadow, which parts of you you disown, which parts of you you're not willing to look at.
What you said right there is really interesting about being conscious and being conscious of like your own childhood and your own wounds, because that really goes into our parenting, how we learn about something as kids. And then unconsciously do it as adults when it doesn't have the best like implications, like the nagging and reminding kids to do things and trying to control things, because we're up against this good girl kind of idea where everything needs to be ordered. Our kids need to be perfectly dressed. They need to have like their hair done. They have to have healthy lunches at school, like all of this like BS that we're fighting against every day. And just knowing that it's okay to say no to those people who reinforce that stereotype, and that stereotype doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to exist. Right.
Yeah. It's a self-esteem thing too, because it's saying I'm feeling my way through my childhood, their childhood intuitively. I'm going to trust. I want to make healthy meals because it's important to me to do. I want them to dress this way because, you know, instead of looking at from the outside in, and feeling judged, it's really feeling it like this is a value to me. This is important to me. And figuring out what those are, how much of it is yours and how much of it is imposed from your parents. You know, you have parents or grandparents that look over, they shouldn't be doing this. It shouldn't look like that. Why is this happening? I don't have that, but I know that happens. I have clients that come through here and tell me that. So it's just saying, like, what part of that is noise that you can turn the volume down and say, this belongs to me and this belongs to you. And so mm-hmm. I'm putting my values as a parent and noticing where you're overcorrecting from your own childhood. You know, I'm fortunate. I have two sets of children, two marriages. So I have one set that I did very different than what I do today. And the one set was raised in Los Angeles, which is much more people, places, and things. And this set, I'm on a farm. So it's much more like, I'm also an older mom. I'm advanced maternal age, if you will, when I delivered those ones. So there's also a wisdom that comes along. I've grown a tremendous amount since my oldest is 22. So I'm not the same woman that birthed that boy, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating to see. That's my blessing, to see both, to see how I've evolved and how I parent, and I don't overcorrect that way. But I think we can know we're in the subconscious programming when we say things our parents said. And we always catch that when we're in duress, when we're in fight and flight. Do it because I said so, you know, like those old school phrases pop out then, because we're in that, you know, our system is jangled. So I would say that would be the point to pull, reel yourself back in. Notice that that's a subconscious, you know, programming's in play. Stop, breathe, and then come back into the moment again and come at it in a different way if you can. And I think it's doing that on your as often as frequently as you can that you'll start to unlearn those habitual ways of managing things, and you're able to get out ahead of the fight and flight mode that, you know, we're all going to pop into from time to time. The goal is not to be zen all the time. I just want to say that that's another ridiculous spiritual parenting thing that it's just not going to happen. I think the goal is to move into self-acceptance. The goal is to constantly not be punishing yourself, but evaluating, how did that go? It didn't sit well with me. I feel like I kind of had an out-of-body experience there. I feel like my child didn't really respond in that way. So I think you are short of like constantly being in your head. I think it's productive to just be in that evaluation mode. I wonder why I got so reactive. Curiosity is a beautiful tool in this way of this mode, this way of being. I wonder what came up for me. Why did I get so triggered? Wow, that was really interesting. What does this remind me of? When has this happened for me that I felt this way before? And sort of tracing it back like a Sherlock Holmes through it. And, you know, whenever we feel like this do or die with our kids, they need to get this, they need to understand this, you know, you've lost the plot.
Oh, right. Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is, like, first of all, you don't have to be so self-critical to yourself. Like, it's okay if like the things don't get done. It's okay if you lose your cool from time to time and not be zen. And then taking that breath and stepping away and figuring that, I mean, essentially you've been triggered and you've resorted back to those old habits that you learned. You know, I hear from moms all the time who like, they don't want to sit down and play with their kids, and they don't want to like do their family time because I see it as they're so depleted themselves that they just don't have the energy to bring to it. So like, how do we get that energy back? How do we do that as moms?
I think take a look at your day. What are the ingredients in your soup here of your life? Like, how much time is it output and how much is input? And it doesn't even have to be a lot. I mean, I remember there was a time where I was living in a guest house while this farmhouse was being built, and I had a newborn baby and I had teenagers, and it was just like, I had no space physically. And there's moments that happens, you know? And I remember just washing the dishes and the suds in my fingers and bringing myself into that mindful moment and just breathing. And like, there was a noise, the baby was screaming and the kids were fighting. And it just felt like that pressure that happens. And I just sort of breathe into it. I brought myself into presence. I didn't need to go sit on my mat and meditate and wave incense and ring bells. And I love to do those things, but it wasn't the time for it. So again, I can go within. I always have that place I can retreat to. And for me, it's a safe place. So that's going to be hard if the noise inside you is equal to the noise outside of you. So you're going to want to get a relationship to yourself that feels safe and yummy. And what that means is there's kindness there, there's compassion, there's space, there's self-acceptance. And when those things are there, I can be washing the dishes and I can retreat into me and I can use my breath and I can repeat a mantra, or I can just be present with what's happening and I can get that burst of energy again and start to feel like everything around me can calibrate because I've practiced self-care. So it's, and sometimes it'll show up like that, and other times it's me going on a meditation retreat. It's me taking a walk. It's being with my girlfriends. It's feeling that sisterhood of like another mom going like, I can't believe this is happening. My God, you know, will they ever grow out of this stage again? You know, like it morphs around, but I'm intuitively looking at space in my day and where am I clocking in time for myself so I can give back, because you can't give what you don't have. And, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to go to the hardware store for milk. So find those places in your life that actually give back to you, that are not like, oh, I should be working out. Like if working out, find the workout that actually you're not checking it off the list. Find the thing that actually does make you feel good when you work out. Maybe you don't love Pilates, dang it. Maybe you want to go hiking outside. So this is, again, what this whole theme of this podcast so far has been about, really dialing into your authentic needs and wants, figuring out what mm-hmm. those are, figuring out what's been imposed on you, letting that go. And seeing what fills you up and playing with it and getting curious around it. Like, do you like to read? Does that make you feel good? Does that fill you up? Is that a good use of your time? Is it scrolling on Instagram? Who's on your Instagram? Who are you curating? Because my Instagram is just filled with inspiring people. There's no keeping up with the Joneses on my Instagram. I've curated that and I'm fierce about it, because it is a place that I go where I have thought leaders that I'm like, wow, that's fascinating. Wow, I love that. You know, so find those pockets and places in your life that do that for you, and that's real.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, I love that. I totally agree with you on the social media thing. I noticed that when I was scrolling through my social media accounts a few months ago, there were some accounts that made me be like, oh, I should be doing that, or I should be doing like this. And I was like, delete. Good. And I haven't had those feelings since. Going back to the exercise, it's really interesting that you mentioned that, because
Joanne has a favorite.
I feel like I do that. And I beat myself up so that exercise doesn't become a restoring activity, but it's like, oh my gosh, here's what I should do. I need to do my cardio and then I need to do my strength. Oh, and then after cardio, I don't feel like doing strength. And I said, oh, I have not done a good job with my exercise today because I have not done strength. And it'll just beat me up inside. So I love that you say it should be fun, because
I see you plenty of days when it's fun. So I hope you have more of those days.
It's fun. It's fun a lot. I have a Peloton and I have a very favorite instructor. Oh, that's on cool. There, and just dances the whole time. Cody Rigsby.
Fun.
Shout out to Cody.
And sometimes we have to just move the needle forward and do the things we don't want to do. It's not all fun, but I just meant like find what you're defining as self-care and make it that. Mm-hmm. Like if exercise isn't self-care, right, then don't say you checked that box of self-care. If exercise isn't that for you, it doesn't, because it looks like it should be. If it's not filling you up, mm-hmm. then maybe it's just another job that you feel you have to do to maintain your health, good. But don't put it in the category of self-care. Because when we're talking about self-care is something that fills you up so you can, as a mom, as a parent, so you can give back to your world that depends on you. And if exercise doesn't fit in that, and it's just, you know, just like we eat right or we drink our water, or not, we don't always want to drink our friggin' 64 ounces of water a day, which I don't. So, but like all these tasks, tasks, and, you know, so figure out what you're defining as self-care. Maybe make a list and what that looks like to you. You know, you talked earlier about a podcast you listened to where I had talked about a menu. So make a menu ahead of time of things that fill you up. So that way, when you're in that shaky place or you're in a darker zone or a season of your day, that you can say, oh, you know what? I'm going to do this one. This feels good to me right now. And you look through that list because the mind that's already in it can't see its way out. So you're not going to feel like doing anything. You're just going to want to Netflix, or you're just going to want to like do something else that might not be as uplifting. So.
Oh, yeah. My go-to is eating a lot of junk food on the couch while watching Schitt's Creek. And that does not make me feel better. I could say from the get-go.
But there's a place for it. Yes.
There's a place for it. But that does not make me feel better in the moment. But I like what you said about like the mind, like it doesn't know how to get out of it when it's in it. So I need one of those self-care like menus and writing it down. And finding what I find personally fulfilling. A lot of things I see with moms though, is they've gotten to this point where they don't even know what personally fulfills them anymore. Do you have any advice for like how to find out like what they love doing again?
Well, you know, I'm just going to toss in there that I think a lot of us like that's a really good point. We get stuck in our identity as a mom and that is who we are. And then when something happens that shifts that, like I went through that myself a few years back when I got a divorce and I'm like, I have no idea what I like to do because my whole life, my everything in my day to day was about raising my kids, getting from here to there, being a good wife, doing what I need to do at home as well. And then it's very, very daunting to have that moment, that realization of that. I have no idea what I like to do anymore. So like, so yeah. So how do you get to that? It was a hard road for me. I'm hoping that there's some better advice than mine.
I think I always say, what did you like to do before? You know, what have you always wanted to do that you said, someday I'm going to be a knitter. Someday I'm going to make jewelry. Someday, you know, make that list. You know, I say the jewelry because I like to make jewelry and I have always bought beads and done all of that. And in fact, I sell jewelry on my website now. Like it's something I've always loved. Mm-hmm. It's always been a through line. And so I always knew I would do it and I'm doing it now. So it's find that thing that makes you feel good that you've always thought someday, make it now, pull that list out and then kind of start exploring it. And maybe you don't like beading, maybe you don't like knitting, but at least you're hitting that list, that bucket list, if you will, of hobbies, of interests, of, you know, maybe there's a book club, maybe make that list of things. Cause I bet you, if you sit down with a pen and paper, you're much more interesting than you think you are. You have much more interests. It's just that life's gotten small for a minute, you know, and there's a time for that. And then there's a time to expand and then start asking people, what do you like to do? What do you do in your spare time? Like get curious. Again, here's that curiosity, how it can serve us. What do you do to fill your time? And then get cracking.
I think that's amazing advice. And I think that's what you eventually did too.
It is. It took me a little while. That's where I found out that I love going to see live music and I love being on the water, but I had no idea. Those were things I had never done before. Mm-hmm. And now they're a big part of my life. Beautiful. So yeah.
Good for you for following that, because some people don't. And it's all there. You know, the breadcrumbs are there. That's the thing. It's not like you need to become someone else. It's all there. All your interests have always been there in what you've watched and who you've hung out with. And so it's just follow the breadcrumbs. It's not like you have to reinvent this new person that exists that you have to align with who's advanced some other place. She's right here right now. So.
And giving yourself permission to be curious and follow the breadcrumbs and take like breaks from your responsibilities. I think like that's huge, huge thing as
well. Yeah, it's a priority.
Well, this has been amazing, Ryan. I have so many things that I'm going to take away from this. I'm going to like write down my list of self-care activities right when we get off. can you tell people where they can find you?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked a lot about Instagram. So I'm on Instagram at Ryan Haddon Coach, and then my website, I'm ryanhaddon.com.
Yeah. Awesome. And what are you most looking forward to right now?
Well, I'm just turning in my book manuscript. And so I'm really excited about that. It's been almost a year of working on it. And so I'm at the final tail end of it. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah. Wow. What's it about?
Exciting. It's about finding your center, that place within you, and nine ways to do that, that to anchor into that relationship to yourself. And so I talked about that a little bit. And from there, every good thing grows. Passion, purpose, abundance, all relationships sort of find their place once you have your dialed in. So how do you do that? This book will talk about the steps.
Ooh, very exciting. Well,
that is a book I want to read.
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Ryan, for coming on. It has been amazing.
No, thanks.
So one thing about this interview is that Ryan just brought such calm. Like, you just felt calmer talking to her.
She is definitely one of those people that can take you from on that, like, I just had 10 cups of coffee high.
Yeah.
To like, oh, I can meditate.
My friend Tasha has a name for this. She calls her husband this as well. It's human Xanax.
Oh my gosh.
And
she's
like
so calming.
A wonderful quality because, and like, I mean, we have stressed out lives. I'm like a basket case most of the time.
Oh yeah. So that's why we get along so well.
Yeah. We're both baskets.
We just bounce back the basketball for the basket case back and forth to each other.
We're like, squirrel. And the other one's like, where?
I know.
That's what it's like working with us.
Another squirrel.
Another squirrel. Oh, where is it this day? No. But Ryan brings such a calm and she had some amazing tips, especially like self-care and finding who you are, because I think that's so hard as a mom. A lot of us second guess ourselves in like doing things for ourselves. Like I do. I second guess doing things for myself because I'm like, oh, but if I go do this and take this time, then I take away from my family and they might need something during this time.
And I really liked Ryan's journey. Like she really has been through the highs and the lows and has really found that calm middle ground for reflection. And it was just awesome. So yep. Like if you want to connect with Ryan, learn more about her and what she does, click on the link in the show notes mm-hmm. for Ryan, because she does some amazing stuff, guys.
She has a great, great story. So until next time, remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.